paranormal experiences don't really work to a timescale, and therefore, we invite you to listen to a dark minisode.
Hello everyone and welcome back once more to another Dark Minisode. The Dark Minisode series, of course, being our little midweek taster for our end of week main episode. And people have asked how we choose what goes on a Dark Minisode compared to what goes on our Patreon only show Dark Bites. And in truth, it's down to the length of the experience. Sometimes you will get an experience which is in between a minisode and a full length episode. That would normally go on Dark Bites, and again, if it falls below the time required for a minisode, that would also go on Dark Bites. So, if you're thinking of submitting something for our minisode, try and think something along the lines of 15 minutes in length. And of course, to submit your experience of any length, you can go to either the link in the show notes or direct to thedarkparanormal.com, and there will be a link there to submit your experience. And who knows, you may well find your experience on Season 23. There are a lot of changes coming for Season 23, a lot of exciting news to tell you in coming weeks, and as usual, with the upcoming episode being so late in this season, we've already sort of filled in Season 23. But as you know, it's a fluid series, so if the right experience comes through, we will find ears for it. In fact, an experience of any length will find an audience, be that here on the main feed or on our Patreon feed. And of course, we're giving a free week away of our highest tier on Patreon, which will give you access to not only early ad-free releases of everything on the main feed, but also access to the entire back catalogue of Dark Bites, which is well over 130 hours of experiences heard only by Patreons. So either click in the link in the show notes or go to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. But right now, go and make yourself a drink, take 15 to 20 minutes to yourself with me as we step into the world of the paranormal to hear all about an email sent to us by our listener, Jasmine. And Jasmine writes, "Hi Kevin, I've gone back and forth about sending this in more times than I can count. Honestly, I hesitated for two big reasons. Firstly, I'm no writer. I've never thought of myself as someone who could sit down and put experiences into words, in a way people would actually want to listen to. And second, after hearing so many of the other stories that people have shared, mine always felt small, like a candle compared to a raging fire. But then I thought about you, about the way you speak to listeners, the way you encourage people to share, no matter how big or small their story may feel. And that gave me the courage I needed to finally put this together. So, thank you, truly, for creating the kind of space where someone like me can speak up. I won't bother changing my name. My family isn't the podcast-listening type. And besides, these are my memories, my truth. My name is Jasmine, I'm 44 years old, and the paranormal has been stitched into the fabric of my life since I was a child. Even now, at my age, strange things still happen to me. The only difference is that I've grown less shaken by them. Maybe it's experience, maybe it's age, maybe it's the spiritual path I've chose to take. But fear doesn't grip me the way it once did. I was born and raised in a Hispanic family, one where the supernatural wasn't considered strange. In fact, it was a part of everyday conversation. My grandmother, in particular, was always telling stories about spirits, curses, and eerie things that happened either to her or to someone she knew. And these weren't tales told for drama or told for effect. They were spoken very matter-of-factly, as if someone recounting the weather, egg cleansings, limpias, were common. Rituals that I now recognize as brujera customs were woven into the rhythm of daily life. For me, they weren't frightening. They were just normal. They were protective even. So when I grew older and found myself drawn into witchcraft and magic with a K, it didn't feel like stepping into anything foreign. It felt like I was finally returning to where I belonged. But home isn't always safe. I don't have the clearest of memories of my early childhood. A lot of it feels very foggy, distant. But there are certain moments that stand out in sharp, almost painful detail. I guess the real beginning came when I was around 12 years old. My parents and I moved from our cramped quadruplex into a duplex, just 3 blocks away. It wasn't far, but for me, it felt like a whole new chapter. And I was very excited. That house had once belonged to one of my favourite aunts, a woman who had always treated me like her very own daughter. She also had 2 sons, but always longed for a girl. So when I came along, she poured that love into me. She spoiled me, doted on me, and made me feel cherished. But underneath that warmth was a sadness in her. Something fractured. And I can't help but believe that house absorbed it. I've always thought houses could have souls, shaped and fed by the people who live in them. And this house, although freshly painted and outwardly cheerful, well, let's say it carried shadows in its bones. At first, the signs were subtle. A prickling sensation on the back of my neck, a heaviness in the air that made me glance over my shoulder. That constant gnawing feeling I was being watched. Not just once in a while, all the time. In the kitchen, in the hallway, even my bedroom. Always eyes on me. Though never anyone there when I turned. And then, the first true terror arrived. One of my uncles had just passed away, and his death weighed heavily on me. Grief was something I didn't yet know how to carry. One night I lay in bed, my door open, staring out into the familiar hallway. And suddenly, I opened my eyes and found myself trapped. I could not move. I could not speak. I could not even twitch a finger. Sleep paralysis. Though, at the time, I had no name for it. But this wasn't just a frozen body. The room shifted around me. It transformed into something else entirely. I was still in bed, but at the same time, I was in a strange garden. A fountain bubbled softly at the center. The sky, overcast, a heavy gray, and a sharp breeze blew against my skin. I could feel it tugging at my hair, chilling my cheeks. I could smell the rain coming, earthy and damp. And then I saw him.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
A child stood at the foot of my bed. He was small, maybe 6 or 7 years old. But his face, well, there was no face. Just smooth, blank skin where the eyes, nose and mouth should have been. My small heart pounded against my ribs like a trapped bird. I prayed silently. I squeezed my eyes shut, and I willed myself to wake up. But when I opened my eyes again, the child was closer. Still no face. Just presence, staring right at me. And then he was right next to me, hovering, watching. I don't know how it ended. Maybe I passed out. Maybe sleep finally took me. But I do remember the helplessness, the terror of being watched by something that should not exist. That night marked me. And though I still experience sleep paralysis to this day, I've learned to steady my breathing, control my fear. It doesn't scare me in the way it once did. But I will never forget that faceless child. After the faceless child came the voice. It was always my mother's voice, always calling for me. Jasmine! And being raised in a Hispanic household, my automatic response was always the same. Mande! Which means command me. But when I'd go to find her, she'd look at me with confusion. I didn't call you. The first few times I brushed it off. Just kids hearing things, houses making noises. But one night, when I was home alone and my parents were out shopping, it happened again, clear as day. Jasmine! I stood still, every instinct pulling me to go and check. So I walked through the house, calling back, Mande! But then I glanced out the driveway window and froze, because it was empty. No car, no parents. And that's when it hit me, I'm alone. I didn't scream, I didn't run. That's not how my panic works. Instead, my eyes widened, my body stiffened, and I walked very slowly back to my bedroom. I shut the door slowly behind me, sat down in my bed, and I didn't move until my parents came home. And I never told them a thing. Not everything in that house was terrifying. Some things almost felt playful. For example, my parents had an old DVD/VCR player. And every time I would go into their room to clean, it would switch itself on. I'd go over and turn it off. And moments later, it would come back on. Back and forth we'd go, me and whatever unseen hand was playing this game. But it didn't feel threatening. In fact, I used to talk to it. I'd say, okay, but when you're done, can you please turn it off? And later, when I would check, sure enough, it would be off. I always felt that presence, whatever it was, just wanted to be acknowledged. Years later, after I'd lived on my own for a while, I moved back into that house. I thought I knew what to expect. I thought I'd grown used to its personality, its little quirks. But nothing could have prepared me for the night something sat on me. I was lying in bed, talking to my then-boyfriend on the phone, when suddenly, I felt it. A heavy weight pressing down on my feet. My toes pointed downwards under some invisible pressure. The mattress dented before my eyes, sinking as though someone invisible had perched at the end of my bed. No, this wasn't cramp. This wasn't imagination. This was weight. I screamed for my mother, and she came rushing in. The moment she entered, the weight vanished, the bed bounced back. I then told her what happened, and she didn't waste a second. She grabbed the holy water and began sprinkling it across every corner of my room and then the rest of the house. All the while, she prayed aloud, words tumbling urgently from her lips, her hand moving fast, determined. She didn't stop until the bottle was empty. That night, I lay awake with no blanket, too afraid of what might try to tug it away. The last experience from that house is the one I carry with me most vividly. It was late at night, the house wrapped in silence. I got up for a drink of juice. The layout of the house was second nature. My room led to a small hallway, the dining room with its glass door to the backyard and a large window above it. The kitchen was tucked just to the side, and I opened the fridge. I left it ajar for the light, and I poured a glass. The cold juice stinging my throat, pulling me a little bit more awake. And then I saw movement. A light. At first, I thought my eyes were playing tricks. But no. This was real. A glowing orb, no larger than a golf ball, floated into the dining room from the living room. It glowed a soft, steady blue. I froze. The glass of juice paused at my mouth. The orb drifted slowly, gracefully even, across the dining room table. Then it rose as if pulled upwards by an invisible string and floated to the large window above the glass door. Without pause, it passed straight through the glass and continued its ascent into the night sky until it was gone. I stayed frozen, heart pounding, and then, very calmly, I set my glass in the sink, walked back to my room, and slowly shut the door behind me. Even now, when I visit my parents' house, I sometimes still hear my name being called, that same mimicry of my mother's voice. The air in that house is never truly still. Eventually, I moved into the duplex next door, and there, with my own children, even more things began to happen. Paranormal things that still make me question the unknown. Maybe one day I will share those too. For now, this is enough. Enough to show you that the paranormal hasn't just brushed up against my life. It's threaded throughout it throughout time, from when I was a child to now. Thank you, Kevin, for giving me the courage to finally share this out loud. And thank you all for taking the time to listen. Jasmine. Well, Jasmine, thank you for providing this week's minisode, and again, I think we all know what I'm about to say. You do reference you have other experiences to share. You were a bit off-put by thinking your experience with a faceless child seemingly entering your real world and starting to give mimic behaviour wasn't dark enough for a dark paranormal series. Well, it certainly is. And you state you have other experiences. We want to hear them. So, sincerely, thank you, Jasmine. And I'm being also sincere, we do want to hear those experiences. That's not just podcaster hyperbole. We want them. Please, if you find the time, send them in. And for any experiences you guys want to send in, click the link in the show notes or go to thedarkparanormal.com and you'll see the link. But until next time, stay safe and take care.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.